This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And before we get into maybe some Saints talk, last night was really something to watch. We'd watched Denver's defense all season long, and they had been the calling card for them. They had played terrific defense, and I thought last night they did a great job stopping the run. And then Jameis Winston hits the scene, and he completes 34 of his 58 passes for 497 yards, four touchdowns. And he put some tight window throws in there that were really impressive. And then it's the other part of Jameis that we've seen, too. Three interceptions, and two of them brought back for pick sixes. Vance Joseph's defense, has anybody played them that well throwing the football against that defense this year?
No, not even close. And Jameis, you know, he's a national treasure. If he didn't exist, you ought to create him. The guy is just he's absolutely amazing. You know, and he's at post-game press conference saying he's going to pray to Jesus to fix his pick six issues. Like, I just love the dude. And he's one of those guys that everybody that you've ever talked to that played with Jameis Winston loves him. Natural leader, guys gravitate towards him, all that stuff. But, you know, he will throw it into a team meeting. You mentioned it, four touchdown passes. Yeah. He had six touchdown passes because he had two pick sixes. So, you know, he has had those issues in the past. Obviously, that's part of kind of his game. And listen, man, they did a great job. Now, that said, Levi Wallace had no business being on a football field last night. I don't know if he was hurt.
God.
I don't know what's going on. But, man, that guy couldn't cover anything. And so that part was disappointing. And Jerry Jeudy ran by him like he was standing still. So not a good matchup. And you know, it's funny, there's all kinds of analytic stuff going on from, next gen and all that stuff that when Pat Surtain was on him, like I think he got two catches for like 20 some odd yards or something. But credit to the Cleveland Browns for getting him matched up on the other side, getting him matched up on Levi Wallace and you know, Jameis Winston hitting guys. So It was an exciting game. Both threw a couple of interceptions. One of them, great play by Ward, and you know, the other one, which was a tip ball that got picked off. The other one was a two man route, and he threw it to the right guy. It just didn't. It looked like the receiver almost quit running the route at first. And you look at the way it came out, and big win for the Broncos, sitting at 8-5 right now with their rookie quarterback and feeling like they figured things out.
Yeah, and for everybody that said, oh, Sean, he only got to be where he is because of Drew Brees. And listen, Sean would be first to admit it. Man, Drew Brees had a lot to do with my success. This was sort of his stick the middle finger to you and say, hey, listen, I'm winning with a rookie quarterback. What are you talking about? I can do that too. And I just think what Sean has done this year with a lot of guys most people don't even know. At wide receiver, at tight end, at running back. Mm-hmm. They have a no-name defense in a lot of different ways other than Surtain, and he's making it work. You got to give him his props. No matter what you want to think about him, man, he is making it work in Denver, and they got confidence in him.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, he's coached his butt off, and he's in that conversation of Coach of the Year. There's no question about that in my mind. And listen, man, there was nothing but criticism. You know, he got rid of Russ, and Russ didn't have a bad season, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, they're going to eat all this cap money, and they'll never be able to recover. Well, they're, they're sitting at the seventh seed in the playoffs right now, charging. And, they've got a comfortable lead over the next couple of, playoff potential teams. So, yeah, what they've been able to do with the rookie quarterback and, the success they've had so far, it's a big-time performance by Sean Payton, his coaching staff. And so, being a, former Denver Bronco and spending a lot of my my adult life there the last 27 years, it's exciting, man. It's really cool.
Mark, one of the things, I think you did the game, Carolina-Tampa Bay. And, yeah. Man, to watch that, and Tampa Bay, and I give them credit, they fought back and ended up with the W. But I was really impressed with the Panthers. This team could have thrown the towel in, so to speak, on Dave Canales and what was happening at quarterback, and Bryce wasn't getting it done. And to watch how, man, hard they played, they had a spot, they kind of had them boxed in for a little while, they let them off the hook, and the Bucs ended up winning. But over the last 3 or 4 weeks, you got to be impressed with what Canales has done with that football team and the metamorphosis of Bryce Young at quarterback.
Yeah, no question. Playing hard, teams that don't have anything to play for, that still play hard. And listen, man, Bryce Young, I've been benched before, man. It's humiliating to get benched. Humiliating. And, to get benched in your second year and then to sit back and kind of relearn the offense, if you will, and do everything you can to give the scout team a look and prepare like you were starting. And, Bryce Young said to me, hey, man, I was playing the game from the sideline. And the things that I learned from Andy Dalton and just kind of watching, sitting back. And, obviously it was very beneficial to him. Has a better understanding of the offense, better understanding where his check down is. And he's playing faster. He's like 1-2. If that's not open, get it to my check down. Don't just scramble for the sake of scrambling. Don't hold the football. If the first guy is open, the first read and progression, get it to him right now. Let him go out, make extra yards, and break a tackle or whatever. But he is playing that way right now. Still off a little bit on some of his deep throws down the sideline. He missed 2 or 3 of those where they weren't even close. Like, they didn't give the receiver a chance. They didn't give the receiver a chance to catch it. They didn't give the receiver a chance to draw a pass interference. Nothing. So those have to be better. But you're right, man. To watch him go from, NFL bust, completely incompetent, to going, wow, the kid is actually playing pretty well. Pretty amazing to watch that go down.
Mark, looking at the Saints and the Giants game this upcoming weekend, Mike and I talked about this. Dexter Lawrence for the Giants, he suffered that elbow injury on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys. Now he's been placed on the IR. It's season-ending for him, basically. But the season that he put up, I mean, the Saints caught a gigantic break here, not having to deal with this kind of beast on the interior. Dexter Lawrence had 9 sacks in the first 7 weeks of the season as a nose tackle. And, Mike, you talked about this as well yesterday on the Saints coaches show, that Pete Jenkins, legendary defensive line coach, said that he'd never seen someone that big move like that. So the Saints, catching a big break here without Dexter Lawrence on that Giants defensive line.
Yeah, he is. I mean, that dude is special. And he is thick, big, explosive, athletic, like the whole 9 yards. And you're not supposed to be that big and strong and still be able to rush the passer. So he can do both those things, and defend the run. And, yeah, 100%. 100%. But I will say this about the Giants. It's not like you've got a bunch of guys that you have to figure out how you're going to block them, right? It's not like you're going, oh, my gosh, how are we going to get this guy and this guy and this guy? There's really one guy that you got to take care of. Now, Thibodeau on the edge is had his moments, and Burns, who they traded for from Carolina, has had some moments and all that. But, it's not like they're a great defensive unit. It's not like they're a great football team. So, the Saints caught a break because Dexter is really that guy. And now you're not afraid to go scat protection where you get, all 5 guys, all 5 eligibles out in the route combination, because you're like, we don't have to double. We can single team guys. So we can go 5-0 and single team guys and get everybody out and give our quarterback a bunch of options. So it just gives you another tool in the toolbox offensively to attack a defense with.
Insider Calls with Mark Schlereff are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase, Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Mark, Saints, Rams. The Saints could not stop the run at all. And I think the Rams got five, you know, blocks of granite blocking for Kyron Williams and Blake Corum. And they averaged over 5 yards a touch rushing the ball. I think going into the game, Bob and I had talked about this, we were much more concerned about Stafford up against a depleted secondary, that he might take full advantage of that. But really what won them the game was their ability to control the clock and run the football with both Kerm and with Kyron Williams. And, okay, most people would have a difficult time telling you more than one offensive lineman for the Rams today.
Yeah, no, well, there's no question about that. I think one of the things that's really interesting about Sean McVay is, you know, he always gives you this, one of his lines whenever you talk to him is the illusion of complexity. Right, all the motions and all the wide receivers and everything else. And if you go back to his core is built in the Mike Shanahan offense. We're going to run it down your throat. And so that's always the first priority. Let's just run the football. Let's run it as much as we can. And let's give you a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to defend, and then let's run it. The other thing is they get a lot of favorable matchups, because they run it out of 11 personnel. So they use multiple three wide receivers. And then Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are really essentially tight ends in a lot of the things they do. And they block like tight ends. So what ends up happening is the defense is you play nickel or dime. So you're getting small bodies in there. You're playing, if you're playing nickel, you're playing with two linebackers. If you're playing dime, you're playing with one linebacker. And so they get a lot of small bodies in there, and then they just beat you up with those receivers that I talked about. But their offensive line blocking defensive backs, they're actually playing the linebacker positions. And so they get some real favorable matchups, and they can wear your butt down just doing that. And then those running backs, especially Kyron Williams, that dude runs hard, man. He tries to run people over. So, yeah, it's kind of one of their strategies, and you know, they executed exceptionally well against the Saints, obviously.
Mark, looking at the Giants, they're 2-10 this year. I mean, we don't even know if they're starting Tommy DeVito or, you know, Drew Lock or whoever.
Does it matter?
No, it doesn't matter at all. But my point is, my question for you, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane. Yep. I mean, they both make the hop over from Buffalo back in 2022. And I think Joe Shane's tenure has been pretty tumultuous, you would say. I mean, just ask Giants fans that get to watch Saquon Barkley every weekend in Philadelphia and, you know, looking at Daniel Jones now on the street, or he's in Minnesota now, my apologies. But you get my point here. It's been not the greatest tenure for Joe Shane early on. But looking at Brian Daboll, I want your thoughts on him, because, you know, that first year he gets into the playoffs and they beat Minnesota in the wild card round before losing to Philly, a better team. But at the same time, it almost kind of felt like a curse, because at that point, I think that's the reason they maybe paid Daniel Jones that type of contract. And obviously that's gone completely south quickly. And just kind of the buzz about their job security for both of them. Brian Daboll as head coach and then Joe Shane as GM of the Giants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the whole way they handled Daniel Jones is a joke. And they handled the backup. I'd get benching him. You're going to bench him. That's fine. That doesn't bother me. But when you bench him, and then the guy who played backup quarterback for you for 11 weeks in a row that would have gone in if Daniel Jones gets hurt, gets usurped in the pecking order by your third-team quarterback who doesn't take reps during the week because your second-teamer gets them, both as the second-team quarterback and as the scout-team quarterback, then all of a sudden he gets – you hand him the job – because his name is Tommy Cutlets and he resonates with Giants fans. So you give him the job and you usurp the backup quarterback because your excuse is, well, he knows the offense better. Well, if he knew the offense better, he would have been your backup quarterback. Like that whole thing is such a debacle, and it's an absolute clown show, and it's embarrassing. And if I was a player in that organization and I was sitting in that locker room, I wouldn't trust anybody within the organization that runs it as far as I could throw him. And Dable's a friend of mine. And I just look at that, and I don't know if that comes from Joe Shane. I don't know if it comes from Dable. I don't know if it comes from the owner. But it's a clown show. And, you know, and they come out and play after that, you know, and they're playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they just absolutely get throttled in that game.
They quit in that game, Mark.
30-7.
They quit. They quit in that game. I mean, you could see them specifically on defense, like they weren't trying to tackle or anything.
No, it was awful from the word go. They Todd Bowles, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, blitzed them 75% of the time in the first half. And like I always joke around. You know, I was with the guys on the set of Breakfast Ball, and they were like, you know, Malik Nabers is mad because, you know, he said, hey, they didn't give me the ball until the fourth quarter, and, you know, we need to start the ball, getting the ball in my hands. And I always joke around, the further you get away from the football, the less you actually know about the game. I go, why do you think a wide receiver didn't get the ball early? Because you're peeling the quarterback up off the turf every freaking play. They brought pressure. They jammed. They played man-to-man, brought pressure on just about on every 75% of the plays. They sacked him four times in the first half. They had him under duress the whole game. There's a reason you didn't get the ball, moron, because the quarterback couldn't throw the ball. Like, it blows me away that you don't understand how the game works. 10 of the guys have to do their job for you to sniff the football. And when they're bringing pressure and you guys can't block them, you're not going to get the ball. Like, the fact that it was an epiphany that all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, Malik Nabers, you started getting the ball. When they called off the dogs, yeah, you did start getting the ball. Like, come on, you guys. This is, it's ridiculous.
Mark, you've been through this before. You've had a lot of surgeries knee-wise, and we see what happened to Taysom Hill, ACL tear and other parts, too, that need to be repaired with him. 34 years old. We've talked to some of the orthopedic surgeons that they didn't perform or weren't going to perform the surgery, but they tell us this is a, you know, a 10 to 11 month recovery time for Taysom. You being a player that has went through a lot of that, the mental part of coming back from that is much more difficult than the physical part. And especially as you're 34 going to be 35 years old, that becomes a challenge too. But if anybody can do it, it's Taysom Hill.
Yeah, well, we've talked about his athleticism, his freak show athleticism and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't have any doubt that he'll cruise through the rehab part of it and the surgery part of it. And it's a much less invasive surgery, you know, than when I had my ACL back in the 80s. Like, it's completely different from that aspect. So guys are really popping back and healing quicker. And you're right, though, the mental aspect of it, you know, the feeling like, hey, man, it's not quite right, or, you know, it's a little bit sore, and sometimes it's, you know, one step forward, you feel great, you work out really hard, and then you're, you know, you feel like you're back to square one, and those things are frustrating, and those things, you know, take time to get over and all that kind of stuff. So the mental aspect of it is really the toughest part. And One of the things that I always tell guys that are going through that is, like, you've got to understand, because you get out of the surgery, and what will the surgeon say? Hey, man, it was a successful surgery. That'll be the first thing they say. Like, hey, man, I did my job.
You know, now you do yours.
Yeah, you never heard a surgeon come out and go, yeah, we kind of screwed that one up. Didn't really work out very well. But, you know, I think you'll walk again. So, like, you're forever altered. And I tell this to guys all the time. You'll never be the same. Now, maybe you'll be better. That could happen, but you'll never be the same. It will always feel different. And I go, the thing you have to be able to do is set whatever your new 100% is. And, you know, it may be 70 or 80% of what it used to be, but it's still good enough for you to be a great, great football player. And for me, when I had my ACL in college, you know, it really took for me to really become good again and to have confidence again. I moved from the defensive side of the ball back over to the offensive side of the ball. And that's when I regained my confidence in my ability. And so, you know, for every guy, it's different. But I've always just said, hey, set whatever. When you get to the point where you're medically cleared, you go out to play. That's my new 100%. And like I said, it may be 80% of what it used to be, but I am good enough and I'm healed well enough to go ahead and stress this thing and play and then just see where it can go from there. And if it gets better, then it's gravy. But at least you can set yourself mentally up to play and to understand that even though I'm not what I once was, I can still really play and I can still really be good and I can really be effective. And oftentimes that's where the mentality and the mental aspect of the game, the football acumen aspect of the game, really increases for players like it did for me. Because now all of a sudden you're like, well, I got to make up for whatever athletic ability I lost. I've got to make up for that by being smarter than I used to be when it comes to playing this game. And so there are some benefits to it. We'll see exactly how he responds, but I would expect him to be full go next year and not miss a beat because the guy is a freak show.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, always enjoy having you on. And what game you got this weekend?
I'm off this weekend. Okay. Next weekend, I'm in Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. May they give you the big game, right? The Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jags. It's going to be a great one.
Mark, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it, partner.
Thanks, Mark.
You got it, man.
All right. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Mark Schlereff, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.